in to listen to this.
And welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. He is Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat. We have arrived to Monday Night Football. Game is tonight. Special ceremony at halftime. The 10th anniversary of the Super Bowl 42 winning team that Jeff was a member of. And Jeff, before we get to the nuts and bolts of the game, and we'll get to everybody's phone calls, I know the team had a number of activities this weekend, so you got to see a bunch of old teammates.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, this has been great. People came in on Friday. They had the J Fund dinner with Coach Coughlin. Of course, we all know what he does for the J Fund, but had that event at Cipriani's in the city. Then Saturday, we got bussed over to Yankee Stadium. Was able to walk out of the center field and walk down the. You know, listen, that is a great experience. You know, how often do you get to be on the field at the Yankees Stadium? And I will tell you the outfield looks a long ways away from home plate. I don't know how those guys hit the ball over the fence, but so it was really good. And you know, there was a lot of anticipation going into throwing out the first pitch. Of course, I was ready for it, and then we were presented with another great opportunity. The person from the Yankees said, "We're not throwing out baseballs. We're going to throw out footballs today." So that made me feel a lot better.
Now, did you know that?
No, we did not know it.
So that was a surprise.
It was a surprise, and I was trying to figure out a way that I was going to be able to punt a baseball over to the guy, and all my friends were wanting me to do it. I didn't think I would be able to do a baseball, but once the footballs were presented, then
perfect.
It was on. And so I had a good spiral in me, was able to hit the catcher, and it was just a fun day. And, of course, then last night we had a reunion dinner over at Ellis Island. The Giants rented out the whole museum there, and we just had a really fun. And more importantly, it's just so much fun to see all the guys when they come back for this. I know that when the 86 and the 90 Super Bowl reunions were happening, we were talking about them and having guys on the show and the whole build up to it. There was some anticipation on my part as to having this reunion weekend and seeing a lot of the guys, because you know, once you're done in the NFL, you usually go back to where you're from or where, you know, everybody leaves, and you just don't. Now we do get to see a little bit of the alumni come back and forth here and there. Antonio Pierce, and obviously Toomer's here. There's O'Hara, the guys like that. But you know, you don't see a lot of these guys and they come back. And I will tell you, I have to report that most of the team looks really good. I mean, you know, there's a tendency.
They're taking care of
themselves. I'm one of them. I put on a little bit of weight since my playing days. But I will tell you that a lot of the guys looked very healthy. A lot of guys were doing well. I did feel a little bit old, as I was when I played anyways. But seeing all the guys on the team now having children that they didn't have 10 years ago, and me having all my kids, most of them, well, three of them in their 20s and one 18-year-old, I felt really out of place a little bit. But a lot of fun. And then again tonight for the game at halftime, there'll be a ceremony honoring the team and a lot of good guys. I think that Coach Coughlin is going to be there this evening, Michael Strahan, and I would say 90% of the team is on hand tonight to walk out at halftime. So it should be a lot of fun. So if you are going to the game, make sure that you do not go get a beer or a pretzel or a hot dog at halftime because you'll be able to see, you know, most of the team walking out and holding that trophy. I did get a chance. They brought the trophy to Yankee Stadium, so we were carrying that thing around all over the place. And I think it's the first time a Super Bowl trophy has ever been set on the lawn right in front of home plate, because I had it with me when I went out there and set it down. And then we were able to get those kicks. I kicked mine, and Antonio, David Tyree, and Sean O'Hara were the other three guys that threw out the footballs.
And my favorite is the image that the Yankees took. They tweeted it out. You have three individuals in the throwing motion, and then you have one individual in the kicking motion, and you're trying to wonder, who is it that stands out? Well, it's the man to the left of me right now.
But, you know, I know you have the ceremonial pitch, but we had the ceremonial punt.
Put a different spin on it, which was nice.
Absolutely.
I think it's great that 90% of the team is back.
Yeah.
I mean, to have that type of a turnout. And also members of the coaching staff, too, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, we saw Kevin Gilbride was there. Gerald Ingram, the running back coach, was there. Let's see, who else? Some of the other. Chris Palmer, I saw last night.
I think Mike Pope, the tight end coach,
Pope
right?
Was there. Yep, and of course, you know, you have Dave Merritt, who's still coaching, and Coach Quinn, Tom Quinn, who's coaching still on the team here. And then the two guys missing that are currently active on the Giants were Zach DiAssi and Eli Manning. Of course, they had a little something else to be doing, you know. But
yes.
So, yeah, really, it's a good time. You know, the Giants organization is just tremendous in that aspect, what they do for the alumni, bringing guys in. They flew them in. They're staying in the hotel. They're busing them around. So it's just a really – nice thing to do, and the Giants organization, as always, does it first class.
Now, not to get too much in depth, and I know you and I have had a lot of conversations off the air, but you know, I think you hit it on the nose when you said when a team breaks apart, it's hard to keep the relationships going. But from your perspective, Jeff, you tended to be pretty close with some of the offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the ones that you established relationships, such as Soy, Bird, O'Hara,
Snee.
Anybody else in particular that you've at least maintained some type of relationship with?
No, honestly,
those are pretty much the
pretty much the guys that are, you know, still around this area.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, really, R.W. McCorders, I hadn't seen forever. I just loved him. Ruben Drone. I mean, some of these, it was just so much fun to see. Ahmad Bradshaw, Brandon Jacobs, we see every once in a while. But to answer your question, no, most of the guys just haven't seen him. And, you know, obviously, a lot of the team was still together in 2009 when I was still playing. But when you think between 2010 and 17, that was last 7 years.
Everybody went their separate ways.
Yeah. And I think the one guy that was probably closest to being still active was Craig Dahl. And if you remember back in 2015, Craig Dahl was brought back here by Coach Spagnuolo.
Yeah.
And so we talked a little bit about him last night and talking with him. And so it's fun. And you know, they're all over there, everywhere. You know, they're in Dallas. They're in Florida. A lot of guys in Dallas. Michael Johnson was another guy. You know, do you remember Michael?
Yeah, Michael Johnson, safety.
Yeah, so a lot of guys who were here, just a lot of fun to see everybody. And one thing that happens in these reunions is that you just pick up where you left off. It's not like, you know, it was just like yesterday that we packed up our bags and, you know, and left. And it was here we are again in front of everybody talking, reminiscing. We were on the bus over to Ellis Island last night, and they had the replay of the 2007 season, you know, game to game going through. The one game that stood out to me, when we were in Buffalo. That game,
late game,
that was a tremendous game.
When Bradshaw ran wild.
Oh
in that
my
game.
Gosh! Yeah, yeah. And the Giants ran for 280 yards or something. And what's kind of cool about it is the fact that, you know, when you look back at those Giants teams, even in 2011, in 2008 season, the Giants were able to run the football at will. And now you look at this game going in tonight, and it's a tale of two teams that really can't run the football. About the Detroit Lions are not a great running football team, too. But running the football in the National Football League has become kind of a lost art when you think about it. I mean, it's more of the passing game. But the Giants got it done running the football and being able to take time of possession and having a good defense that they did that year is really special. So you look back and you try to say, okay, how is this Giants team going to play tonight? And remnants of what that team did back in the days, you got to run the football, you got to play good defense, and you got to get lucky at times. And certainly that season in 2007 was all about all of that and a little bit of luck, too. So.
Absolutely. Well, that's what the Giants are going to need tonight.
Oh,
not
yeah.
necessarily luck, but getting back to the fundamentals and trying to bounce back. And let's talk a little bit about the game before we obviously open the phone lines up at 201-939-4513. First, on the injury front, Jeff, Odell Beckham's going to be a game-time decision.
Sure.
That shouldn't surprise anybody. They'll test out his ankle. The most interesting part of the injury report is one that was a late addition, which
Janoris
is Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah,
he was downgraded to questionable.
Yeah, which tells you that Michael Hunter is going to be, you know, who's going to go, Michael Hunter or Ross Cockrell? I mean, those are the two guys that are going to be inserted. And one thing you have to kind of think about, too, is with DRC, you know, would they put him in the slot? When you put DRC in the slot, that opens you up now to Golden Tate. That's where he plays the slot position. So you got to look at that matchup. All game time decisions. We'll see what happens. Janoris Jenkins is a tough dude now. I think if he can be out there, he will. Odell Beckham, it's anybody's guess is, you know, what's going to happen there. We know that the Giants are better with him on the field, even if he's 80%. Will the Giants put him on the field at 80%? Who knows? We're going to find out soon. But I think that the Giants are a better team with him on the field, of course. It changes the complexity of this whole game, to be honest with you.
And with respect to Jenkins, it's also important to note, Jeff, they changed the injury report. Remember, he could have been probable
yeah,
under the old rules.
I know, and now it's like questionable. You look at it and you're like, yeah. Oh, my God, there's no – the old one is like questionable. That means he's not playing. But now it's either questionable, what's the other one, or probable? Is it just...
Doubtful,
it's
essentially.
Doubtful.
Yeah, probable doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it's doubtful.
So meaning he went from being fully healthy, and then even if he was banged up, they could have went probable, but yeah, they don't have the option to do that anymore.
Yeah, so there's a lot of gray area in the distinction of what questionable really means. So,
correct.
But we'll find out.
Got to sort of read between the lines. And Bobby Hart, who was limited throughout the week, then basically was taken off the injury report.
Disappeared off the injury, yeah.
So perhaps that bodes well for him to suit up at the right tackle position.
And when you look at the injury as far as the Giants go, we know the big one with Odell. I think that you got to look at Bobby Hart going off, but then now Fluker comes on with the shin.
Yeah.
The other
and
big
BJ
one is B.J. Goodson. Correct. So when you talk about Janoris Jenkins, you also have to be a little bit concerned about B.J. Goodson because, you know, Keenan Robinson is out. So there's one of your linebackers, which now brings you into Calvin Munson, who is a rookie free agent who's going to most likely be active, and really J.T. Thomas, who's the last couple games of preseason played pretty well, coming off an injury of last year. So they're a little thin at linebacker, and you got a team that, number one, doesn't run the football well but likes to pass out of the backfield with those two running backs. And I think that, you know, you want to have your best linebackers in there, especially cover guys. J.T. Thomas is a good cover linebacker, but as far as depth goes, you don't have a lot of experience when you talk about Calvin Munson in there. So,
well, the linebackers are going to be so important in this game, as you just noted, because they don't run the ball that effectively, the Lions. And that's not just this season. We only have one game, by the way. That's over the last three seasons. But Abdullah and Riddick are very effective as receivers out of the backfield, which is essentially an extension of the Lions' run game.
That's what they do.
But you need the linebackers to aid that cause to slow them down.
Yeah, and I think that this game will be one of those. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game tonight. I think that the defense for the Giants is they're a little mad. They're a little mad at what happened last week. And I think that it's imperative that you get pressure on Stafford tonight, because if you don't, he's just going to eat you apart. And I know that the Giants are a good defense, but he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
And he can pick his spots and start throwing the ball. They got some good receivers. Kerry Galladay is a young guy, a third-round draft pick that really did well last week. He had four catches for almost 70 yards and two touchdowns. So, you know, these guys can make some plays, and it's going to be a tough game for the Giants. Now, when you look ahead, and we can look ahead, the Giants don't, but when we look ahead at a Giants team now that if they can get a win, they're tied for first place with everybody in the division. If they lose this game, they go sole possession of last place and go down the turnpike to play the Eagles at 0-2. That is so now we're starting to talk about must wins, and we can talk about these. The teams never talk about it, but we do. This is a really kind of an early season must win for the Giants to be on track with the rest of that division. You fall at 0-2 and then go down to Philly on an away game, which is a tough game to win. Come back at 0-3, then your season is starting to dwindle away.
Plus, the Eagles are now looking to bounce back because they fell to the Chiefs in a very tough game. They've also improved defensively from what I've seen over the first two games. This is not that same defense that everybody feasted on last year.
I think the Eagles are a team where they're getting a little bit more balance than they were last year.
Good way to put it.
I think their defense can compete. Their offense is certainly getting better. You saw those guys, Torrey Smith and Alshon Jeffries, making plays.
Zach Ertz is making a lot of plays this season.
So that's kind of how that team has been built offensively, and they've gotten quietly better on defense. Tough opponent next week. But listen, this is a big game. It's a home opener for the Giants. The Giants, as we all know, last year played very well at home. They need to continue that streak and come in there and get a win tonight. And I think the defense is really – the offense is going to be improvement. There has to be improvement. Some of the things that come out to mind right off the bat for me, Lance, offensively, is that they cannot abandon this running game. They have got to work the running game tonight, and they've got to get attempts, and they've got to get that time of possession to take some pressure off of that defense. And we know the term complementary football that McAdoo keeps mentioning. That has to come true tonight. These guys can't just be the defense plays, you know, all the whole game and the offense doesn't do anything and the special teams. It's got to be complementary football, all three phases, and really no turnovers and get turnovers, and I think they can win the game tonight. It's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, the Lions should not be overlooked. And also, I would not put much stock in last year's matchup in Week 15. These teams have changed. JPP didn't play. You
and
had
both
Darius
their backs
Slay.
Didn't play for.
Correct. Riddick and Abdullah were both out. Then here's another thing. Darius Slay, their top corner, left with a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
Four of the five offensive linemen that the Lions threw out there are not even in the mix anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking about something that is not too meaningful to look back at from week 15.
And I think that this offense, when the Achilles heel for the Detroit offense is their offensive line. Okay, they went out and got some free agents to kind of do a little patchwork there.
Yeah.
But when you talk about a matchup, I think this defensive line can win the matchup against this offensive line for the Detroit Lions. Now, and the Detroit Lions defensive line isn't, you know, they're nothing to write home about. They're very kind of just elementary, rudimentary.
Other than Ziggy Ansah, not a lot of star power. But you know what? We said the same thing about Dallas last week too, Jeff.
Yeah. So, but and the offensive line, of course, we can talk about them till the cows come home. Have to play better. They have to play better tonight. I think they will. And really, if you can get Eli Manning in rhythm. Get him in rhythm. You know how he plays when he's in rhythm, and he can go down and throw the ball all over the yard. So we'll see what happens.
Well, before we get to the phone lines, I just want to throw out some numbers to support your point about complimentary football. And you referenced the fact that they only ran the ball 12 times, the Giants, in the last game. Technically 11, because one of them was an Eli Manning kneel down.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily reflect in the box score. So they ran the ball 11 times. Now, the reason why I want to focus on that is, let's look at the Cowboys game yesterday, Jeff. And the Broncos cruised to a 42-17 victory. What has worked for Dallas? Complimentary football. They pound the ball, they win time of possession, and they also keep Dak Prescott's pass attempts down. What happened yesterday? Denver jumped out to a lead. They stopped the run. But not only did Denver stop the run, the Cowboys abandoned the run. Zeke only ran the ball 9 times. They ran the ball 14 times. Dak threw the ball 50 times. 50 pass attempts. And I don't even need to look at his numbers last year. I know for a fact that's a career high. Because from what I recall looking at his numbers last year, he was maybe in the mid-40s. He never approached 50 last season.
And the mid-40s towards the end of the year when they felt a little more comfortable about it.
Exactly.
So they must feel a lot more comfortable letting him throw 50 times. 50.
Now, part of that obviously was they were trailing. But even when you're trailing, and this goes back to the Giants game, you can't just become one-dimensional. Because then you're playing right into the hands of the defense.
Yeah, they just know, what are you going to do? You can't run the football, so we'll let you run it. Go ahead. But you're not going to run it. So just, you know.
So now we can keep defensive backs back because we know you're not going to run it.
Yeah, and that's what the Cowboys did that last week. They were like, you're not going to run. You don't have Odell. You don't have somebody that's going to turn a 6-foot slant into a 60-yard. We'll give you everything up front. We'll give you everything underneath. But you're not going to beat us over the top. And that's what happens.
All right, let's open up the phone lines, 201-939-4513. He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Beto. Thanks for tuning in for Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live as we get you set for Monday Night Football, Giants-Lions, MetLife Stadium. Rick is in Tampa. He gets us going. What's happening, Rick?
Hi, Rick.
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
What's up? Hey, I get to be first in my first time this season calling in.
Look at that.
Very nice.
Your lucky day.
The biggest game of the year. How you guys doing?
Good. Doing good, Rick. How's things with you?
Jeff, congratulations on celebrating the 10-year anniversary. You know,
yep.
Lawrence Times was just on FAN talking about the kicking game and everything and how hard it was on you guys in Green Bay and that cold weather and everything. And
yeah.
You guys really did a bang-up job during that run. So good job there.
Thank you.
And enjoy the time. And I do think that the best game that season was that last game against the Patriots. I think that game really showed that you had a chance to beat them. And I think that was, even though it didn't mean anything, it did mean something because I think the momentum really carried you forward.
I'll tell you a quick story, Rick, and I'll be quick with this. Last night at our dinner, John Mara was talking to the team a little bit, was reminiscing a little bit about that season, and particularly brought up the game in Week 17. And after the game, the Giants, of course, lost that game on a busted play down the sideline, So John had said to the team last night that he went over to congratulate Bill Belichick on an undefeated regular season, and mm-hmm. Bill had said to John, he says, "We're going to see you guys again."
Interesting.
And I thought it was pretty cool that he recognized the fact that, you know, you guys really beat us tonight, but we got a fluke play. And, you know, we're going to see you guys again.
Well, he was on point.
That was definitely the turning point, I thought. I mean, that was an exciting way to finish the season. So that was good. So enjoy your celebration. You know, real quick, you did touch on the injury, but this the Goodson injury. I mean, where did Jenkins? Where do these injuries come from? Come on! I mean, we need those guys. We need Goodson. I mean, this linebacker, I mean, Beeson was hurt all the time, but we can't have this guy being hurt. He needs to play, so I'm hoping he plays. And that's going to be an important part of this game is us stopping Stafford because they're not going to run the ball. They're going to dink and dunk. They're going to throw the ball. It's a very important thing. But regarding the offensive first set of downs, you know, listen, the offensive coordinator was fired from Cincinnati, and obviously McAdoo is the offensive coordinator calling the plays. Not happy with the way he calls the plays, haven't been the last couple of years. Can Eli, I know it's, they seem to come out when they do their two-minute offense or three-minute, whatever you want to call it, when he rushes and he just does a little bit more on the fly. They seem to do better. I mean, do you think that he can let Eli be more in charge of what's going on in the beginning of the game versus these set plays, which we all know as Giants fans, what we're talking about this morning at breakfast, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be first play and compete. He's almost going to get sacked. Then he's going to run up the middle. They're going to gain nothing, and then they're going to pop. It's the same thing every season. Well, we know it. Yeah. It's got to be different. Can maybe they come out and do something different? We know Detroit likes to rotate or something. They have guys that keep coming in.
Yeah, they move personnel in and out.
Yeah, if we go to an up-tempo for the first quarter and just let Eli maybe read the defense. Now, if Odell's in there, that's a big difference. We'll see what happens with that. But let Eli be Eli and maybe get a couple deep throws or maybe get a couple let him command the offense a little bit may help out that because I'm concerned about play calling and how we're going to be predictable. And I'm expecting better things, but I don't know where to expect better things from the offensive line. So
well, it's a good question.
What do you think about that, Eli running the show a little bit more?
Yeah. All right, Rick.
I appreciate
the phone call.
I like the question. I think it has some merit. And I think that when you are go for seven games straight without scoring 20 points, you have to change up something. So possibly we all know how Eli operates in that offense when he's making check calls and he gets in a rhythm. I told you he likes that rhythm. He likes to control the pace of the offense. I think that bad plays on first down and second down, they nullify that rhythm. It's just they get into that rut of, you know, so it's a good point. And I think that maybe they do try to do something like that. It would be good to come up and just come out of something out of the ordinary right off the bat. And more importantly to me, I don't care what they do. I think it's important that this offense establishes a first drive and points off of that first drive, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, I don't care. Rhythm, move down the field, keep that defense off of the field and get a little bit of confidence knowing, okay, this is how the game's going to go. Offensively, we ran the football, we passed it down, we came out with some points, not a three and out, and then give the ball to Stafford and crew to come down and do what they got to do. And the defense is going, okay, here we go again. We're going to get on the field. These guys are going to have a nine-minute drive. Is this the way that this game's going to go tonight? So it has a lot to do with the confidence level of the offense and Eli. So good point, Rick. I like it.
Now, Eli still has flexibility to change plays at the line of scrimmage.
He does, and he does it a lot. I mean, you've noticed a lot of times he's snapping that ball with 2 or 3 seconds left because he's making protection calls and changing the play.
And reading the defense.
Yeah, and every quarterback is doing that in the National Football League. I was watching a game yesterday, the Steelers game, and Roethlisberger is really good at that. You'll hear him call the cadence and say, hut, and the defense stops. And then he backs off because he's trying to get what they're doing.
Trying to
get
a feel.
So, yeah, and the defense sometimes will tip their hat or their hand to it. Sometimes they won't. But, yeah, he has the ability to change the plays. He does all the time. He really does.
The importance of setting the tone early, I think, is priority number one in any game that you play. But what you were alluding to, Jeff, and this has been an issue, I would say, you know, even in the Coughlin era, starting strong, starting fast, scoring first.
Oh, my God.
Not just the first quarter, Jeff. The start of the third quarter, for some reason, has been a lingering issue for this team.
Well, last week they started off pretty good. They went on a nine-minute drive, and they only got 3 points out of it. But, yeah, how about the first drive of the game? Get that, okay? Have a little bit of consistency. And I will tell you this. The game of football is all about confidence. And when you have a team that's coming in here that people have been writing about, saying how the offense is horrible, the offensive line is this and this and this, and you come out and establish some tempo and establish a good drive, you now start to think about none of those articles mean anything anymore. We just went out and had a good drive. Let's build on it. Confidence. They're guys. It's just like they're human beings. People build through confidence. That's important for this team to get confidence on that first drive.
Let's head back to the lines. We got Nick in Morristown. Nick, what's happening?
Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Wonderful.
Nick. What do you got for us?
Good, good. Just two questions for you. And, Jeff, this one's more towards you, being special teams guy.
Okay.
Is it me, or has Dwayne Harris lost a step? I mean, I think he's still pretty good as a gunner, but it just seems like as a returner, he's not quite what he used to be when he first got with the team.
No, I'll go with that a little bit. I mean, you know, last year he was battling some injuries and things like that. Obviously, he's a year older. I think that collectively special teams is, you know, it has to play together. You have to guys that, you know, it's not just Dwayne Harris. It's the other guys that are running down and setting up blocks for returns and things like that. I think Dwayne Harris is a guy that he's not a big risk taker. He's kind of more of a guy that understands his position, and that is to give the ball back to the offense. And he's going to try to make plays, but sometimes they're just not there. Don't be surprised if he busts off a big one, he wants it, you know, soon, because he's due. I mean, you look at a couple years ago, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, he had a punt return for a touchdown his first year here. So I 15. Think that, you know, it would be nice to see. And when we talk about complimentary football, that's the theme today, is that wouldn't it be nice if the special teams could get a score, okay? The defense could get a score. Talk about confidence. That's going to really build a lot of confidence and take a little of the pressure off of that offense.
And, Nick, don't overlook the fact that Harris actually had a really big return last week, but it was called back because of the Calvin Munson penalty.
Right.
So, you know, he did show a flash last week.
Sure.
The problem is they've shot themselves in the feet when all of a sudden they start to get these penalties that pile up and it takes away prime field position.
Right. No, I got that. And my second question is, do you guys see the Giants possibly starting Darkwa over Paul Perkins, kind of like we had back in on the day with Jeff when they did Jacobs first and they grounded and tired the guys out, and then they put more of the speed guy in there to be a little more quick?
I don't think they will. I think that, you know, and Dark was listed as a third running back, even though he's going to get – I will tell you this. He will get more carries tonight. I feel like they have to get the ball to him. And I think as a coaching staff, I think they believe that because Darkwell obviously is a little – I think he has a little bit better vision than Perkins right now, and I think he can hit that hole a little quicker. You look at the way he ran against the Cowboys. He has some good runs in there. So I think – I don't think he'll start. I don't think he'll be the starter, but I do think that he will get more carries tonight than you saw last week.
Yeah, he only had three. He had that 12-yard run, but outside of that, he wound up with 14 yards. Now, granted, the game overall, from a running perspective, was not strong, but if there was one particular run that stood out, it was Darkwa up the gut for 12 yards.
Sure.
So I could certainly see them wanting to get him more involved. But remember, it comes down to at-bats, as I like to call
Absolutely.
It in the running
yeah.
game.
Yeah.
You know, you could start Darkwa, you could start Perkins. If these guys don't get at-bats, who cares who starts at the end of the day?
You're talking about them next week. Well, why didn't this guy get more plays? It was, well, it's at-bats.
That's what it comes down to. It's the opportunities. And appreciate the call, Nick. Thanks so much for tuning in. Let's hear from Dan in Delaware. Dan, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Dan.
I'm actually going to the game tonight, and I had a quick question about the like ceremonies and everything. Is it all going to be done at halftime,
yes.
or is there any pregame stuff?
No, just at halftime. Just at halftime tonight.
All at halftime. All right. Nice.
Well,
nice.
We can tell you though, we do our pregame show out at MetLife Central. We're going to have about three or four players that are going to join us during the pregame show. So if you do want to stop by, feel free, and we'll hopefully get some conversation out of some of the former guys and reminisce. So that is certainly a part of the pregame festivities, but nothing on center field.
And just so you know, our stage is right out front, right by the MetLife entrance.
Yeah, the MetLife gate.
Just listen for the music and the loud noises. That's usually where we're at.
What time is that all? We'll
start that at 7 p.m. Eastern.
All right. Yeah. Definitely. We'll try to go to that. That's awesome. I just wanted to say you guys touched on it in the beginning when you were doing your opening, you know, going into Philly next week. And then remember, we have to go to Tampa the week after that too. So this pretty much is a must win in my eyes because that's looking down the barrel of 0-4 potentially, which I don't, you know, there's no coming back from that. So, this is a must win. I don't know if Beckham is going to play or not. I'd feel a lot more comfortable about the outcome if he was playing, but I think we should. I mean, we still got guys. I mean, we still got talent, and we got a good defense. So I think we can squeak it out, but we can't. I just really think we can't get away from running the ball. I mean, we ran I want to say the stat was 11 times and then a kneel down. So really 11 real rushing attempts last week. I mean, that's not going to cut it, especially where these defenses are playing us. You have to stick with it, even if it is not successful early. You can't get away from it the way these defenses have been playing us. They're begging us to run. So we have to. And then just a comment on yesterday watching the Dallas game versus the Broncos, and I just kept thinking to myself, like, that should have been us. I mean, it's amazing to see what a great defense, some protection, and a good running game can do for what I would grade Simeon as, a mediocre at best quarterback.
Yeah.
And we have better than that. So for all the people to call about the offensive line, you know, in the running game, I mean, that right there is a blueprint. And Simeon isn't some Pro Bowl rated quarterback. He didn't turn the ball over. Oh, he did turn the ball over, actually. But, you know, he didn't make killer mistakes. And they ran the ball well, and they stopped, and they had the defense for it. And that should be our blueprint for this team, especially without Odell Beckham on it. But we can't, because, unfortunately, we don't have the running game and the offensive line to go with it. So, to me, that's the keys. We have to run the ball. The defense will do what they're supposed to do, and we can't abandon it if it's not working early. So that's really all I got in terms of my thoughts on the game.
Very
and
good.
I'll definitely try to look out for you guys for the game tonight, and we'll be there at halftime cheering you guys all on. It was great. 10 years. I mean, I can't believe it's already been 10 years.
Tell me
flew
about
by.
It.
Yeah, this man.
But that was one of, like, the best sports moments of my life
run.
Was when the fan watching you guys win that Super Bowl, Jeff. So it was great. It'll be a lot of memories tonight. And I can't wait to see you guys all on the field,
thank
soaking
you.
It all up, and getting your getting all the love put back on you that you guys deserve.
All right,
so, appreciate it. Have a safe
it.
Trip up.
Appreciate
we look
call.
Forward to maybe seeing you. You know, the thing about the running game is that, you know, these offensive linemen, they obviously like to run block more than pass block. All linemen do. So when you talk about the point of attack and just imposing your will on the other guy, that's what it's all about. And then, as Eli had said in some of his transcripts this week, is everybody needs to relax. We just need to play better. We need to execute better. And that's really what it's the truth. These guys run these plays so many times. They know these plays in the back of their – in their sleep, they know this play. They just have to execute, and they got to make sure that there's a hat on a hat, and guys, you know, they're controlling the line of scrimmage and being able to get on your fundamentals and not make mental mistakes. Dallas did a lot of stunting. Okay, so you're going to have to maybe think that Detroit is not a big stunting team, just from the research and stuff that I was watching. But, you know, it's a game plan that these defensive coordinators come up with. They look and see what was successful last week, and really the stunt game gave the Giants offensive line problems. So you're probably going to see some of that, but not a lot of it. But they're straight, you know, the front four for this team is just up they're up and down the field. That's it. They don't do a lot of different stuff. So that could prove beneficial for the Giants running game tonight.
I wanted to go back to the point that the caller made about, you know, when you have a strong offensive line, you have a strong running game. Obviously, it complements your defense. But, you know, if you go back and you look at what Denver's defense against Dallas's, Denver got the stops to force the Cowboys off the field, something that the Giants' defense couldn't do.
Now, a lot of teams,
I'm not trying to be nitpicky. I think the Giants' defense played well enough to certainly win a game last week. You know, putting them under the microscope is what you have to do when you're trying to look for ways to improve.
But they did have the ball for 23 minutes
Correct.
In the first half.
And that's what I'm getting at, Jeff. I think that the defense also needs to step forth today and get the Lions off the field. And all you have to do is look at Dallas was 8 of 15 on third down.
I was just going there.
Week.
Third down. There you go. Just look at that.
And they also had manageable third downs. And I was looking for this stat. So of the Cowboys' 15 third downs last week, Jeff, 10 of the 15 were for 6 yards or less.
Okay. There's your production on first and second down. You need to make some stops on those downs.
Yeah, and you're going to tell me that Matthew Stafford with Abdullah, with Riddick, with Galladay, with Tate, with Marvin Jones, with Ebron, they don't have the ability to get into those type of manageable third downs?
Absolutely. Yeah,
just as dangerous as what Dallas presents.
And the only difference there is that they may not be able to run the ball so effectively like the Cowboys do with Elliott, but they certainly on first down can get it to those guys out of the backfield throwing for a 4-yard gain, 5-yard gain.
As opposed to a 4-yard run, a 4-yard pass is just as effective.
All I know is that 4 yards is 4 yards. Whether you get it running or throwing, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, you're right. You got to get off the field defensively. We can talk all we want about offense, but, you know, the defense needs to step up on some of these crucial third downs and second downs. You know, we always talk about offensively wanting to get in manageable third downs for an offense. Well, the defense needs to get them in unmanageable third downs and get them off the field.
And this was one of the best defenses in the NFL last year in terms of opposing third down efficiency.
Yeah.
Dallas 3 of 14 on third down against Denver.
There you go.
8 of 15 against the Giants. To me, as much as we want to sit here and talk about what the offense has to do, I think there's a big burden on the shoulders of the defense tonight as well.
This team, as you remember last year, defensively struggled to get turnovers early in the season. It's imperative that this team picks up where they left off last year at the end of the season, and that is getting turnovers. Because when you have an offense that fails to score, and we can now say that they have failed to score, you know, they're not scoring. You got to come up with plays somewhere to make up for that scoring deficiency on offense. And it comes with return game and with turnovers on your defense. And even if you don't score, get the ball on the opposing 50. Get some field position out of it. And then at least you can get some points, 3 points, 6 points, whatever it is. But if this defense, as much as we talk about how great they are, and they want to be great, and they are a good team, there's still some deficiencies that this team needs to address. And tonight's the night that they have to do it. The defense needs to help the offense. And once they do that, I think that you'll start to see that complementary football come into focus a little bit more. And the Giants will feel like they don't – I think the offense always feels so much pressure that they have this seven-game streak where they haven't scored and the defense is getting all the glory. They have all the all-pros on that team. The offense is so pressured to go out there rather than just relax and go play. And I think that's what Eli's saying. Relax and let's just go execute. Let's just go play football and see what happens.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Jason is in Maine. Jason, what's happening?
Hi, Jason.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Wonderful.
Right, Jason. What do you got for us?
Good. We're honoring the 2007 championship, and I just wanted to ask Jeff, I'm glad you're on today, Jeff, because I wanted to ask you about this. The Green Bay game, they mentioned it, someone mentioned it earlier, but the Green Bay game in the ice-cold weather there, I'm wondering if you could just share with us some things that you said and experienced. Starting at the time we missed the first field goal, and then we missed the second one, and I'm sure there was a lot of frustration there, and then we won the game, of course, on a field goal. Can you just tell us, like, the conversations you had on the sidelines with Lawrence Tynes and the rest of the special teams? What was that time like for you guys?
Well, the time was more for Lawrence to gather his thoughts. Because to be honest with you, you don't really ever say anything to him. Because there's nothing that you're going to be able to say to him that's going to make him feel better, or that he's going to think that, you know, oh yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe I should start with my right foot instead of my left foot. You know, it's just a matter of confidence. And I say that word all the time because, particularly in kickers, it's all about confidence. It's such a mental part of it, which goes to show you how mentally strong Lawrence Tynes is or was that missed those other two kicks. But you don't say anything to him. And I'll tell you how confident he was. The fact that when he was going to go out for that field goal to win the game, nobody knew that he was going to go out on the field. He just ran on the field. Coach Coughlin did not tell him to go kick that field goal. In fact, I was over there waiting to go in to go punt, because here we are. We're in an overtime game. We're talking about field position here. If you give them the ball on the 38-yard line, okay, after Roger just threw an interception, I mean
– Favre, yeah.
Favre, excuse me. Then, hey, listen – you know, you're just basically just giving the game. He ran on the field, and Tom's just – that's the confidence that a kicker – he's like, you know what? I'm going to make this thing. So that's kind of the sequence that went through it. Nobody said anything to Lawrence. I mean, maybe Tom might have went up to him and said, hey, man, you got to make the next one. That's about it, because you leave those guys alone. You don't touch them. They're fragile up top. So it was cold, though. I know that. Amazing. What else you got? Anything else, Jace?
I think the other thing I have is I really hope the Giants really look to Shane Vereen tonight. I know sometimes they get a lot of quarterback pressures and things, and I hope if that's the case tonight that they'll look his way. I think that he could help us out a lot there. All right, guys, thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Jason.
Go Giants.
Appreciate the phone call.
I actually would like to see Shane Vereen get maybe three or four more carries in this game, you know, running the football. I think that the Giants, we know what he can do catching the football out of the backfield, and that's basically his strength. I feel like that he does have a little bit of ability to be able to run the football, so maybe we could see him get, you know, three or four more carries in a game. Now, I know it doesn't seem like much, three or four.
But you know what? It could change the philosophy of the defense. I think that's a fair point. He got no carries in the last game. What I was going to throw out is when the caller said you want to see Shane Vereen more involved, I think what gets overlooked, just because the game was so lopsided, Vereen actually led the team with 9 receptions. The problem is the majority of them came on that final drive. Yeah. So he wasn't heavily involved. It's almost misleading. Right. So I think it's a fair point that the last caller made to maybe get him a little bit more involved early in the game, even if it's dumping it off for 3 or 4 yards. Hey, you know what? If you get a more manageable third down, that could go a long way for continuing a drive.
Well, I just think the team knows how you use Shane Vereen, and it's in that, you know, he'll stay in to block, and then he's an outlet. So he's in the backfield to begin with. Why not give him the football and try to trick him a little bit? Like, hey, you know, the guy doesn't ever run that much. Just let him go. Let him have a few more carries and see what he can do.
Let's head back to the lines. We got Rick in Jersey. Rick, welcome aboard. What do you got?
Hi, Rick.
Hi, good to talk to you guys.
You too.
I'm a little bit confused. Maybe you can comment on why isn't the Giant offensive line able to impose their will? Is it confidence? Is it ability? A combination thereof? Because as I look at their composition, they have 2 first-round draft picks, a second-round draft pick. If you put Fluker in, that's 3 first-round draft picks. And you would think that they should be coming together a little bit better. Is it, in your opinion, are they really that close and that they're going to materialize soon, or are we drafting the wrong people? I'm a little bit...
Yeah, I see your confusion. I think it's all about fundamentals and execution. You know, a lot of offensive lines run certain schemes. It takes a little longer to develop them, but the fact of the matter is we're not. You can't wait for this development all season. And I think it comes down to fundamentals and technique and being able to execute those techniques on the certain run blocks that you're trying to do, whether it's a zone blocking scheme or a man blocking scheme. You've got to get up and you got to be able to take the play the way it's supposed to go. And when the guy leaves and goes somewhere else, the next guy's going to have to pick the guy up. And I think it's mental assignments that are missing. So they got to get in the playbook, understand the philosophy of the play, and execute it at the highest level, and then it will work. You're seeing breakdowns in that type of fundamentals and mental errors with the offensive line. That's why it's not executing the way it is.
In your opinion, are we close, or how much longer do we have to potentially hope that they're going to be able to get into the playbook?
We really don't have a choice. There's not 5 of the guys sitting on the sideline that you can just plug the other 5 guys in and say, hey, can you play better? These guys have to play better.
Now, so, I guess my question, and I'm not critical because I'm an avid Giant fan, have been my entire life. I don't know if it's coaching or I think Reese has done a great job as a GM, but when I hear things like Flowers doesn't have quick enough feet to be a left tackle, I mean, he has the same feet that he had in college, and they're not going to get any quicker anytime in the near future. So are we drafting the wrong lineman with high first-round draft picks, or is it coaching when we get them there, we can't get them to perform at that high of a level?
Well, you know, this is what I'll say for those who want to argue the coaching aspect. Pat Flaherty was here before Mike Solari came aboard. And Pat Flaherty is now in Jacksonville, and Jacksonville had a good opener, rough second game, which I think was well documented. And some of the issues that we saw with some of the players under the tail end of Flaherty's reign were seeing somewhat with Solari. So I don't really think you can easily say, well, the coaches are not coaching these guys up if similar issues are coming to the forefront over the course of different seasons with different coaching. I think certainly some of it falls on the players, as we alluded
to. Oh, no question.
But, you know, Rick, I don't know if you misspoke. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I don't think it's a matter of these guys not taking the time and knowing the playbook. You know, these guys study plenty. I think Jeff hit it when it comes to fundamentals and the consistency of fundamentals not being showcased game to game. That's when you have breakdowns. And when you have breakdowns, you're going to impact the passing game. You're going to impact the running game. So it's more of inconsistency in terms of execution, Rick, much more so than I would point to these guys not being dedicated or listening to coaching or the playbook.
No, I'm not suggesting that to be the case. I think that they're obviously very concerned about being productive and helping the Giants win. I'm just a little bit confused that, you know, we're 3-4 years into this offensive line group, and we seem to have the same issues and be talking about the same problems. And I'm hoping tonight is different. I'm hoping that we can run. I'm hoping we can play action. I'm hoping we can do all the things that Eli needs to do to be successful. But it starts with the offensive line, and I hope we're close as a Giants fan.
Well, I think a lot as Giants fans, I think as an organization, sometimes you're sitting there going, okay, these are the guys that we have vetted. They're here. We drafted them. We expect them to play. It's not 100%. These guys, you know, not just the Giants. It's not easy to do. And you go out and you just hope that you do enough backgrounds and everything that you feel that this is the guy you want, and then he has to perform. So, you know, it's not a given. And really, when you look at Ereck Flowers, to his what he's done up to this point has been, you know, not the greatest. And I think that now is the time that he has to step up. You look at John Jerry. They obviously see that the guy can play because they gave him an extension. So they feel like, you know, hey, we know you can play football. Let's see it. Okay? And really, when you start investing in those draft picks, Justin Pugh is a guy who has played. He's probably the one guy you don't hear a lot about, because he's a very consistent player, but he makes mistakes just like everybody else does. So collectively, they all have to get on the same page on some of the executions of their run blocking and their pass blocking.
Thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Your comments.
Yeah,
you got
no
it, Rick.
Problem,
appreciate
Rick.
The
Thank
phone
you.
Call. Thanks so much for weighing in. All right, let's head back to lines. Q is in Newark. Q, what's happening?
Hello. What's going on, guys? How you doing? It's
Thank
been
you.
A minute.
Good,
all right,
man.
Q.
I have an issue with McAdoo. And my issue is that the fact that I'm starting to notice that seems like he's a very stubborn kind of guy. Like he's stubborn with the information he gives off to the fans and media. And he's stubborn in the sense of the decision-making, too, when it comes to player personnel. And one thing that I noticed about him most recently was the fact that when John Jerry was struggling in preseason and he snatched him out the game immediately, and then he put, what is his name?
Brett Jones was put
Jones?
In there. Yeah.
Brett Jones. Brett Jones did an excellent job. He's an undersized offensive lineman. We all know that. But the fact that the position that he plays, guard, is his size is actually good for him as far as leverage goes. And he's not the best, but I've noticed that he's a little scrappy, and he's better than John Jerry is what I'm getting at. And my point that I wanted to say about that is that, you know, I'm trying to fast because I have more points to make. When he took John Jerry out of the game and he inserted Brent Jones, our offense started clicking, and we was able to run the ball. Eli wasn't under pressure. Not saying that John Jerry is the reason why everything is going on, but I noticed that particular move was made, and I noticed the difference when he was benched. So I'm saying to myself, well, wow, okay, so now we're on to something. And then fast forward to regular season, John Jerry's still in there, and he's struggling again, in which we've seen the first game. I know it was only one game, but he's struggling again. And another thing that I noticed that carried over from the preseason was our offense struggling again. We're not able to run the ball. Again, we're struggling. And I'm going to get to the point. I know you guys will get to the point. Is that I don't know what we were thinking as a coach and upper management, as far as general management, that if we was going to leave the same offensive lineman in and expect something different. Now, I understand that we have youth at the tackle position, that they're very young. And we're banking on potential and the fact that they grasp it, get a hold of what they have to do, and get better. And there's only one game. It's only one game. But I must say, John Jerry is a problem, and I think that we need to bench him and start there. And I think if we do that, I think that we would be better off if he was on the bench.
Let me finish real quick. Yes, real quick, Q.
Okay.
What else you got?
I just feel that John Jerry is not a starting caliber offensive lineman. And even though last year was his best season as a football player in the NFL, I still think he lacks and he always makes mistakes. He's constantly making mistakes. Now, as far as McAdoo, I think McAdoo needs to just, like, you know, stop being as stubborn as he is. I'm the defense was on the field the entire time last game, so I understand why they let up the way they let up in the second half because they were tired. I understand why the offense struggled because our best player got hurt because, once again, I was going to say McAdoo left him in a meaningless game to get hurt, and I was so mad at McAdoo. I'm glad he didn't hear anything I was saying because he probably would hate me because I didn't want him in that game. I bet he shouldn't even been playing. I don't even want him in preseason. But I just wanted to say that I'm very confident. I think we're going to beat the Lions today. I think we're going to rebound both teams, both our division foes. They lost. So this is right here on the platter for us, you know, to take advantage and get back on track.
Good.
And I'm very confident. And I'll take it offline. I have more to say. Cause
well, we want to get to some other calls, Q, and we also want to comment on what you had to say.
Is balling.
All right, Q. Yeah. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. In terms of the one thing about when you focus on one offensive lineman, it's almost like I feel you're missing the point that the entire offensive line struggled as a whole.
Yeah.
I mean, you could point out Bobby Hart had a rough game against the Dallas Cowboys, and he's right next to John Jerry. So if you're saying take Jerry out, just to use the hypothetical, and put in Fluker or Jones, you still need to account for there were breakdowns elsewhere on the offensive line, and Jerry's not going to make up for the other four positions, or his replacement is not going
to
make up
for
that. And
if you go and read some of the transcripts and listen to some of the interviews, with McAdoo point blank says, it's not just the offensive line. It's not just the offensive line.
Yeah.
It's the receivers.
Of course.
It's the quarterback.
Rhett
it's the
Ellison,
running back.
Miss Sean Lee
the
on
tight
a play.
End.
Yeah,
okay,
goes across
so,
the board.
So collectively, it's the problem, not individually. Now, can we go through on every single play and say, okay, here we go. Whose problem was it? Yeah, you, then you, and you. Yeah, okay. But the next play, it may not be him or him. It's collective. They have to play better executing plays and just get on the same page with stuff. So it's easy for us to go to the offensive line because they're the big target. They have it on their backs. And so, you know, everyone wants to talk about that. And don't get me wrong. It is a problem, but it's not the only problem.
And as far as, you know, going back in hindsight and saying, you know, Odell Beckham shouldn't have been on the field at a preseason game. So Greg Olsen broke his foot for the Panthers yesterday. Should Greg Olsen not have been on the field in a regular season? You're going to get hurt, period. It's part of the game. You can't sit here and say that, you know, if we would have played him in the third quarter and not played him in the fourth, he would have still been healthy. I just – you can't coach like that, Jeff.
Well, and you look at the league as a whole, the first 2 weeks of the regular season, the offenses are not good. I mean, there's teams that aren't scoring touchdowns. There's teams that – you see some of the scores in these games? They're like – you know, it's just so – this really is a de facto preseason for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the regular season. It's the only time these guys are playing football. I mean, the preseason is a joke. It's absolute joke. Nobody plays, and it's just there's no symmetry within the – it's nothing. It's until the regular season starts. And unfortunately, the games count now, you know. So
margin for error is non-existent at this point. In the preseason, you have some margin for error. You can experiment. Now you can't. But that still goes back to the point, though, let's not forget, that whether Beckham's on the field or not, there's still plenty of offensive talent to score more than 3 points.
Well, let's go back when they started signing all these guys. Rhett Ellison. Holy smokes, we got Rhett Ellison. What a great blocker he is. Oh, my God, we drafted Evan Engram. Holy smokes. Brandon Marshall's on this team now. What an offense. Holy – well, yeah, on paper.
On paper. Execution, though, and paper are two different things.
Yeah, so to your point is that they still have other players to make plays. I'm hearing people, we got to trade Odell Beckham because we got other players. And, well, if we have other players and Odell's not playing, then let's go. Let's go. Let's start winning some games. Let's start scoring some touchdowns. Let's start executing. Let's start playing football, okay, and play a complete game. I know as a Giants fan, everybody is frustrated just as much as we are. That be able to see this offense go out with it, it seems to be on paper that nobody can stop this team. But until we see it, it's so tough to watch. It really is. I mean, and for it can't be predictable. I think that, like the one earlier caller had said, it's so predictable. First down run, second down, you know, behind the line of scrimmage tackle. Now you're in third and long, and it's three and out again. You know, so hopefully they get away from that tonight and really have some consistency. I honestly believe if the Giants can come out and establish a good drive the first possession, it's going to do wonders for this offense. I think they need to get the monkey off their back. I think a touchdown, a big play. We haven't seen big plays. We didn't see many big plays in preseason. We haven't seen any last week. We haven't had that big play. Obviously, we had the big play guy out of the lineup. But, you know, all we could talk about was the matchup problems that Evan Engram is going to pose on other defenses and the big playability. That, to me, you need to lean on that a little bit. Lean on Brandon Marshall tonight a little bit. You know, you can't go through the game throwing him one ball in the last 30 seconds of the game. I mean, so that's probably – it's going to be in the game plan tonight to get those two guys involved in the offense.
Let's head back to the lines. We got Kevin in Orlando. Kevin, what's happening?
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Doing all right, Kev. What do you got for us?
How's the weather up in Orlando? My son, Zach, and the University of Miami football team is practicing up there, getting ready for the game for Toledo because they haven't been able to get back to Miami. So I'm hoping it's nice and hot and sunny.
Well, it's actually in the 80s right now, almost the 90s.
All right, I'll take that. Right now. Good. What's up?
I was just calling. I mean, I know. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, yep. We hear you, Kev. Yeah.
Yeah, I normally never have to call because you guys always cover everything that I was asking for or looking for. But I'm tired of everybody calling and worried about the offensive line, this, that, and the third.
Okay.
It is one game. We always have that one game a season where Eli doesn't play that well or the offensive line doesn't play that well. I think we had that game last week. So I think we'll get back on track this week, and I think it'll be a big win tonight. I just don't want everybody to worry about this and to worry about that. Let's just go out there and play good football today, and I think everything will be fine.
I like
positive.
That.
Understandable. All right, Kev. Yeah, we hear you. Anything else to add?
No, that's pretty much it.
I just say,
Jeff, it's an honor to talk to you on the phone. I've been a Giants fan my whole entire life. Just to hear your voice on the phone and talk back to you, it means a lot to me. So I appreciate everything you did for us.
My pleasure. I appreciate it, Kevin. And as always, we appreciate you guys calling in at the show. That's what we're here for. And nothing like hearing a Giants fan that's very optimistic. We like to hear that.
Absolutely. And I get his point about looking at it. It's one game. Let's see what's going to happen moving forward. Usually you have to see four games to get a feel for a team. But I also understand the fans that are saying we've seen these trends in previous seasons and we're seeing it happen again. And that, I think, is a valid point too.
Sure.
But it's almost like we're getting to the point where we're beating a dead horse. I think we all realize that their offensive line has some issues,
yeah,
and there's inconsistency. I don't think anybody who's watched the Giants on a consistent basis would deny that. But talking about it and rehashing the offseason, when we know they've been drafting guys and they've been going in the youthful movement, and we talked about all the guys that were overpaid this offseason, Jeff,
yeah,
and haven't necessarily panned out to production, is just basically revisiting stuff that we've already discussed ad nauseum and covered. So the point is, you got to work with what you have at this point, realistically. That's what has to happen this season, because there's not going to be a savior or somebody that's going to walk in
no,
off the street.
Not.
And that's what we're dealing with right now. We're trying to have realistic conversations as opposed to the coulda, woulda, shoulda game, which we're beyond at this point.
And I think you make a good point. And I think really what the fan is looking for is improvement. Let's from one game to the next, okay? And it was the first game, and it was horrible, okay? So let's go out against the Detroit Lions tonight and make improvement. We're not talking about one big giant step, just little steps to improve on certain aspects of the game, and you hit on them. Let's improve on first and second down and third down. I mean, that only leaves one other play, but you know what I'm saying. Like, let's get a run on first down, okay? And let's have second and four rather than second and 10, okay? And then when we get in third downs, let's try to have a couple of them manageable enough that we've had an established run game that we have a third and two and we can make it rather than getting stuffed at the line of scrimmage. It's those types of progressions we want to see, okay, and not have as many three and outs. So the Giant fan wants to see improvement, to a point where it looks halfway decent to watch, rather than having to tear your hair out of your head going, again? Oh, my God, when is this going to stop? And I think that if they can do that tonight, it'll put a lot of people at ease, and see, we can be talking about this next week saying, win or lose. You know what? I think the Giants' offensive line made a step of improvement this week. They were X on third down. Okay, we saw a lot of this or that. That's what we want to see. It's not that we want to replace all five of them, because we can't.
Well, because that's unrealistic. I think that what you just hit on, Jeff, you want to see increase in the number of plays run on offense tonight. That needs to be something moving forward. Improvement in the run game, but also more at-bats in the run game. Efficiency on third down has to take a huge stride. Pass protection. protecting Eli Manning, giving him an opportunity.
Yep.
You know, those are all areas you want to see improvement. You know, are we expecting them to go from 3 points to 40 tonight? Listen, if that happens, that's great. But once again, you want to just see the improvement and the increase in all of those various categories, because all of those categories come together and either show you good production or they continue where they were last week and they show a continuation, unfortunately, of inconsistency in production.
And I know it's probably hard to think, but from a team that can't score 20 points, this team has the ability to put up 40. It can. 2 years ago they did. I mean, these guys were throwing up 35 points a game. And it was Ben McAdoo calling the plays. So we had, the guy's calling the plays, blah, blah. Same guy. Same big old menu of plays. So don't be surprised if the team comes out and they do score a lot of points. I mean, that would be surprisingly. But I think this team has the ability to do it. Whether they're going to do it or not, we want to see that. And hopefully we see it sooner than later.
Because the urgency factor is already there. And you see the percentage points. You start off a season 0-2. You don't want to have to deal with what that means in terms of the postseason. All right, let's head back to the lines. Marco is in Connecticut. Marco, what's happening?
Hi, Marco.
Hey, guys.
How we doing, Marco?
I'm doing great. I was going to start with the 07 stuff. But the Lance, what you just said, though, and Jeff, you said it too, about the offense scoring all those points. You know, here's what I'm looking for tonight. I'm coming to the game. My first time coming to a game in 10 years, actually, that Super Bowl year. That,
wow.
The last game I went to was the Minnesota disaster when there were all those interceptions and the pick sixes from Eli and the Vikings. But so I never went back to another game, not because of that, because, hey, we won two Super Bowls since then. So I just thought I'd stay out of there and watch it from home. But I'm coming back tonight for you guys, Jeff.
Thank you.
This is my point about what Lance just brought up. What I want from the offense is just come out on the field and do enough where you're not putting this defense in a terrible position. This is a great, this is a great defense.
Yeah.
Like the offense, let's get the kinks out as we go, but the defense is great. And you're, don't waste them. I mean, like to see this team kind of run out of gas when they should be, when Spags should be in a position at the end of the game where he's revving it up and sending that pass rush, which is what we saw last year. So for me, I don't care about scoring 40 points. I just want long, good drives that just end cleanly, you know, or
sure.
And then you know, even if Brad Wayne could come in and get the field position game going on. But when we're backed up all the time and we're not scoring points and it's three and out, that's when we're in trouble.
Well, it's just hard to watch. And I think that the Giant fan is looking for exactly what you said. Even if they don't come out with points and they get it across the 50 and bring Brad Wing in, pin him inside the 10-yard line, let that great defense go and maybe get a turnover down there, maybe flip the field again, just try to, you know, not flip the field, but just maybe force a punt and then, you know, play the field position game. But the three and out backed up, you know, those, it's just, it's tired of seeing that. And I think the Giant fan wants a little bit more consistency, a little bit more rhythm, a little more fluidness to the offense, moving down the field. And hey, I got an idea. Maybe just sprinkle in maybe a big play in there. You know,
I mean,
and really, if you had to hold a gun to my head and say, what is the big play you want to see in the game tonight? I don't want to see it in the passing game. I want to see it in a run. I want to see the running game. I want to see Darko or Perkins run off a 25 or 30 yard run. Okay. To get that offensive line pumped up. Okay. That's the big play I want to see.
And Jeff, you're right. And as a fan, I will tell you tonight, if that was to happen, that would set the place off.
No
because
question.
I think there's so much built up emotion. First of all, big pressure game for the Giants. Now, to bring you guys back, the 07 team, I'm just going to tell you, Jeff, man, I've called a couple times, I've talked to you, but no better time for me to thank you for what happened 10 years ago. And if David Deal was on, I'll thank all of you guys, because as a sports fan, if you are a fan of a team and you love them as much as I do the Giants, and your team goes out and does something like they did that year, you have that forever.
Absolutely.
And so, so tonight, I can't wait to be there. Is Coach Coughlin going to be in the house?
I believe he is. I can't confirm that, but I've heard that he will be here.
All right. Well, so that got me thinking a little bit about McAdoo. McAdoo, if things don't go well, and you said even like an opening drive, because that's how intense I think things are starting to become, he could learn a lot from watching Coach Coughlin about 10 years ago. I mean, you were with him, so you could speak to it. But the guy was what they talk about, how to change a little bit and how to learn to adapt a little bit. And I would just say, being a New York sports fan for a long time, this is kind of where things start to, like, really, really crowd into your space when the pressure is building. And that's what I loved the most about Coach Coughlin, was, like, such a professional, knew how to handle this kind of stuff. And I hope the case for Coach McAdoo, because there's a great team here. I really feel that way, that he's got a great team. He's just there's some things that need to kind of break our way, and a little luck would work out too. But
sure.
Kind of in a roundabout way, I know I'm rambling. I'm just saying, though, I think you can learn a lot from the way Coach Coughlin handled that.
Thank you.
Guys, I'll see you soon.
All right, Marco.
I'm coming down to MetLife Central, and I'll see you guys.
Sounds good. Appreciate the call, Marco.
One thing that we fail to talk a lot about is that, you know, coaches are coaches. They put game plans together. They're paid to do that. They're paid to coach. But the players are paid to play. And the players have to hold each other accountable for their play on the field and what they do in practice and their preparation. So, you know, and that's where leadership comes in. You talk about it all the time. Coaches talk about it. Management talks about it. Hey, we brought this guy in for his leadership skills. You know, he may be on the downside of his career, but his leadership in the locker room, that you have to have, because when you start having games like you did last year, and if you start piling those games on, you got to have the leadership in the locker room to keep guys together, because it's just about you in that locker room. You try not to listen to anybody else outside the building, read any press clippings. Today's social media, the way it is, and it's difficult at times in the way that we are in today's world to stay focused on what you're doing. But you got to have the leaders. Now, Eli Manning is a leader. He's a leader on the field. He leads by example. He doesn't do a lot of talking in the locker room, I can tell you this. But when he does talk, it's almost like E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton talks, everybody listens. When Eli does talk, people listen. Okay, and you got leaders on that team. Jonathan Casillas is a guy that is a big time leader. He's a guy that's not afraid to get in people's face and call each other out and hold each other accountable. That is the onus of the team. You can talk about McAdoo, you can talk about the coaches, but the bottom line is it's the players, the 53 guys that are on that field, or not 53, was it 45 guys that are on that field on Sunday or Monday night? They got to get it done. Here's the playbook. Here's the game plan. I'm giving it to you. Now you got to go take care of it, and you got to police yourself and make sure that the offense is not looking, the defense is not looking at the offense with that eye like, hello, guys, can you do something here?
Yeah.
That's what they do. And telling you, there's so many times in my career I saw the defensive leaders coming down to the offensive side going, hello, boys. I mean,
meet us halfway.
Can we get something out of you guys or what? I mean, so and you got to be there's a fine line between that, because it's a lot of times that can divide a team,
and you want to get to that point, so especially early in the season.
Yeah. So, but it really it's up to the players to execute and perform and go out there tonight and do well. National TV, Monday night games are great. They're not as great as they used to be. I think Sunday night's the big game, but the fact is that Monday night game, and there's two of them. Right?
Nights? There was a doubleheader the first week. Then they go to just one game.
They do
from
one
here
game.
On out. Yeah.
Everyone's watching.
All eyes are on this game.
Yeah. So national TV, the young guys understand it. They used to watch this game. Now they get a chance to play it.
All right. With that being said, we will be back on the air shortly, Jeff, to talk about this all over again.
Yes,
pre-game show starts 7 p.m. Eastern on WCBS News Radio 880 in the New York metropolitan area. We're going to switch over to the Fan once the Yankees game completes, but WCBS News Radio 880 is the place to tune in. And as I mentioned, we're going to be joined by a few players from the 2007 team to reminisce about what happened in which they won the Super Bowl 10 years ago. And the halftime ceremony will take place during the festivities of today's game. And Matt, if I'm correct, is that going to be on Facebook? You could see the ceremony if you're not at the game on Facebook, on the Giants Facebook page, live during the course of the contest. So that's a good way to tune in.
Perfect.
If you don't have the ability to get to the game. So we're covered from all different angles. Look forward to the Monday night matchup tonight. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Stay locked to Giants.com for all the latest. For Jeff Eagles, I'm Lance Meadow. We'll speak to you tonight on Giants.com. Have a good one.